This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Diamondbacks, extra inning winners last night. Extra inning losers. You knew what I meant. Went extras, and an interesting series with the Cubs. No, they won last night. It was a loss in extras the night before. Let me get everything straight here. It's BetQL Daily. Hi, welcome in. I'm Chris Mack, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. Plenty of baseball today. That I'm not confused about. 16 games, including a doubleheader on the south side of Chicago. A dozen of these games start before 4:15 Eastern, 1:15 Pacific. So again, if you want to sit around and watch afternoon baseball, you've got plenty of options. And with that being said, you said nobody's going to watch it, Joe. There's a doubleheader between the Royals and the White Sox that, as long as the Royals are rolling, I don't know. You could go money line Royals to sweep the doubleheader at like plus 143. I've already got an eye on that one. Thank you very much.
Ah, that's an interesting angle. See, because I was thinking, okay, you just have to run it back with the earlier game because the same pitching matchup that was planned last night for the game that got canceled.
Right.
We were willing to bet that Casey on the run line with Singer and his awesome start against Nick Cannon's brother. Like, that makes perfect sense. A second matchup, do we even know? When I was looking earlier, I didn't see an announcement on the starters. Do you care about who the starters are for Casey White Sox?
I think it's Fetty for the White Sox and Waka for the Royals. So, Fetty Waka.
Yeah.
I know how you feel about Eric Fetty. Oh, and now she's muted. She had a red-hot Eric Fetty WAP take, and
fire.
She was muted for it.
It was fire.
Day. Well played. Anytime we can, you know, intertwine hip-hop into the MLB bet segment, I am all for it. Waka Flocka Flame
Hawk
on the mound.
All about it. There are a couple spots I had circled, guys. I don't know about you. Will Hill had mentioned the Yankees sort of hitting a little bit of a skid here in the last couple days, but getting Kevin Gausman today in Toronto. It's Stroman for the Yanks, and Gausman's been awful, as Will mentioned. The velocity not there, ERA close to 12, and Judge and Stanton both have great numbers against Gausman in their career. Judge 10 of 32 in his career with a pair of doubles and four home runs off Gausman. Stanton 7 of 18 with three extra base hits, including two long balls. So I wouldn't mind going after their home run props. That's a look that I definitely had in mind. And then the Padres have been playing well as of late, coming off the series win in LA against the Dodgers. Michael King has pitched well early in this season. No listed starter for the Brewers. He had a 110 first pitch in Milwaukee.
I was looking at your team, man. As a dog, at the Mets, yes, Faulkner.
Let's see if they let the starter go more than five innings. I understand.
So you'd bet first five if you're going to bet it, is what you're saying, right?
If you're going to bet anything, yeah. But just to... It's Bailey Falter. I don't know. Severino's pitched fairly well to start the season. Falter's been, he's been Bailey Falter. So I don't know if I jump. It's been a very sloppy series on both sides, both teams. The thing that was frustrating, and even though we cleared the Jared Jones K-prop yesterday, they lifted him. I don't know if you guys saw this. After 59 pitches, 50 of them were strikes. That's the first time that's happened in the 23 years of pitch counts being tracked. And the argument post-game was, well, you know, he's never thrown a big number of innings before. We want to save him for August and September. I get that. I also understand that you can have some nuance in how you handle things like that. You told the guy pregame he was only going to go five ups. I get it. He had thrown just 59 pitches. Maybe you walk up to him in the dugout and say, hey, listen here, Taco Meat. We think we can get another inning out of you because it's a 1-0 game and you're absolutely dealing. And we don't trust Luis Ortiz to not come in here and blow the game. That might have been a thought if you're Derek Shelton and not necessarily letting Ben Cherington manage the game from the GM suite. I don't know. It's just frustrating. I understand you want to protect young arms, especially in a year where we've already seen so many young arms go down. But, bro, let him go out for one more inning. And if he gets up over, say, 15 pitches in that inning, fine. Run out to the mound, grab him by the back of his shirt, and drag him off the field. But it drives me nuts, Joe, when we see young pitchers protected when they're pitching really well in a given game. One hit over five innings and seven strikeouts, 59 pitches, and they pull them.
Not saying it's right, but I see 11-year-olds that get a longer leash than 59 pitches all right. The time. It's kind of crazy. Look, it is April, though. If what they're saying is not BS, that it is about getting a full season out of him instead of letting him go like normal, and then we're forced to shut him down at some point. If they're going to back up their words with that action and make sure he's there for the entire season, I'm okay with doing that in April. I'm fine with it. But I certainly understand your frustration. But there is a bit of a ramp-up period. My God, that's an 85% strike rate. 85%. Yes. Not playing. My goodness. That is super, super impressive, especially the way, you know, in the majors, how you do have to waste pitches from time to time, and you're setting things up during an at-bat. Awesome start. You would have been really mad if you would have missed the K-prop because of the 59.
Yeah, this isn't even like an angry gambler going off about missing a bet. Like, we hit the prop, and it was just frustrating to watch as a fan of the Pirates, watch them blow that game because their bullpen blew it a second night in a row against the Mets. I understand what you're saying, but the games in August and September might not mean anything if you don't let the guy go out and get an extra inning of work when he's only thrown 59 pitches. Aaron, what's this story about Glasnow knowing or having a feeling that some people in the Dodgers clubhouse thought Ipe Mizuhara might have been up to some shady stuff?
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit surprising that he would come out and say this, but he made some accusations through the baseball community that kind of caught everyone's attention, that he's accusing the Dodgers of being aware of Mizuhara's questionable actions around Ohtani and kind of suggest that the Dodgers had prior knowledge of some potentially unethical behavior. So rather jaw-dropping to have him come out and say that. It's kind of one of those things that maybe you should just keep your mouth shut, but wow. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
He's a dude that he's one of their main dudes too. Like this is not somebody keep your mouth shut. You're at the end of the roster. You're lucky to be in the majors. This is a guy that they need to stay healthy all season for them to win. Just my guess based on some of the reporting that's gone on with this entire Ohtani thing. Just a guess is maybe Glasnow is one of the guys that's sick and tired of the whole Ohtani everything. Guy can do whatever he wants. He doesn't want to speak to the media. Doesn't have to speak to the media. So guess what? Guys like Tyler Glasnow have to speak to the media on his behalf and answer questions that would be for Ohtani. And the people that cover this team every day are saying like there are some players on the team that are sick of it.
It just doesn't seem like that's the case based on these quotes from Glasnow with Chris Rose. It doesn't seem like an anti-Ohtani thing. It seems he's like saying, we've got his back. Like he's coming to his defense.
That's what I was going to mention, Paul, is actually it's interesting because it unfolds a little bit more of the story as it sounds like it went down when they were still over in Korea. Glasnow saying, I just think being in the clubhouse, everyone knew right away. He, meaning Ohtani, had nothing to do with it. The first thing he did was like, take my phone. We all knew early on that Ipe was doing some shady stuff. And by early on, it sounds to me like he means as soon as the scandal kind of broke. And Glasnow said that Ohtani seemed kind of like eerily unfazed by it and was very unstressed. And that's how he kind of was able to tell, at least according to what he's saying to Chris Rose, that they didn't think Ohtani really had anything to worry about or had anything to do with it.
But you're not going to go against Ohtani. Like you can't in that locker room in this sport, like you can't tear down Ohtani. Baseball is going to do everything they can to protect him. I think he's more mad at the organization, which is what he's voicing here.
For trying to cover this up a little bit. Or
probably everything.
Knowledge. Yeah.
Or maybe just, I don't know if it's a cover as much as it's not having a good handle on things, right? Like, that's what it sounds to me like Glasnow saying is, we knew there was something weird going on, some shady stuff as soon as it came out, as soon as the story broke, and then it went sideways real quick. And he's not directly saying it, but he's kind of indirectly saying, Aaron, if I'm reading between the lines correctly here, hey, they probably could have done more to help him clean. He handled it well, but they could have done more to help him out on this end.
Agreed, but it's also a bit unprecedented, like to have an interpreter, first of all, not super common, and then like allegedly this interpreter stealing $40 million from the player, like... That's not a common thing. Like, they're probably surprised and not really sure what to do about it either. And it sounds like it happened so fast. But maybe what Glasnow saying it wasn't. Maybe this is going on. You know when someone has bad energy? Like, maybe this interpreter was just rubbing people the wrong way, like Glasnow. They're like, get this guy out, man. We know he's into something. Like, why is he hanging around all the time? And perhaps they had talked to, like, front office or someone about it, and no one was getting rid of him because that was Ohtani's guy.
All this happened this month. You know what I mean? I guess he was hanging out in camp too, but it felt, if they knew right away, like how long ago, like maybe a few weeks ago, and look how quickly all of this happened.
I think the takeaway here is how quickly, like I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that stories – that people are aware of the stories that are going on behind the scenes a lot earlier. And in some cases they are, but a lot earlier than we are. Like it's a funny story that actually relates to Glasnow. I remember being in the clubhouse when the trade went down of Glasnow and you know, Austin Meadows and Shane Boz to the Tampa Bay Rays for Chris Archer. Mm-hmm. And watching him get the news on his phone while he was sitting in the clubhouse in front of us. And one of his teammates kind of nudging him on the elbow and being like, dude, is this, and they pointed up to the screen, and there's TVs on the wall in the clubhouse, and MLB Network is talking about Tyler Glasnow being traded. And we're all standing there looking at Tyler Glasnow, like, what are you going to do now, bro? Uh-huh. And he got up and walked out and, you know, went and packed his things and everything. So he wouldn't have to talk to anybody about it. But that's how quickly it sounds like this all went down when they were over in Korea, is the Dodgers are sitting in the clubhouse 1 minute after a game. The next minute, as they think there's something maybe weird going on with Ohtani's interpreter, the news breaks. The interpreter's standing there telling them in the clubhouse, hey, I did this. Ohtani's not totally understanding it because he still doesn't have a 110% grasp of the English language. It's wild how quickly this thing came together, broke, fell apart, and then was pieced back together. And I think the more we talk about it, Joe, the more I come back around to granting Ohtani the grace that I probably should have granted him in the first place. Like, I had really serious questions about this, and now I come back around to it. Sounds like he handled it as well as he could have.
I guess. I don't know. I still think he knew more than everybody wants to believe. Like, just because they're not texting about it does not mean that he doesn't know. He's not a dummy. He's not going to put it in text form and look how quickly the feds came in and got all this too. Like, it all was like really fast, but I guess it was over years.
Yeah.
He didn't do his due diligence on the interpreter either with all this going on for years and years. It is wild though. You're right.
Fascinating story.
And he continues to hit the cover off the baseball too, which is the other thing. Somehow he's kept it together during all of this. Speaking of which, who do we expect to do the same today? Do we have some player props for all these baseball games? What about the Eastern Conference play-in games tonight? Player props there, sides, totals, lightning bets next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.